Pay a visit to a local pub and you might find that there's a big cider renaissance here in the U.S. as well, especially here in New England where we grow a lot of apples. I'm talking hard cider like the one we just heard about in Poland. As for regular cider, the non-alcoholic stuff, that never went away. But making it yourself? Now that's a tradition that's largely gone the way of, you know, sewing your own clothes. But the World's Environment editor Peter Thompson and his family recently got a fresh taste of that old tradition.
My grandfather was an apple farmer. His farm's still in my family out in the hills of western Massachusetts, and it's still got a few of its gnarly old apple trees. A handful of Cortlands, a few northern spies, even a rare old blue pearmain from a family of apples that goes back 1,000 years or so, and somehow or other happens to share its name with my own family. My mom was Anne Pearmain. We keep the old trees because we love them, but they're pretty much played out when it comes to producing apples. Or so we thought. But this year, there was something in the air in New England. Seems it was a banner year for apples all over, and even these geriatric trees got caught up in the frenzy. So just as the first frosts were hitting, my family and some friends went up to the farm and started picking. The old trees are mostly a tangle of dead branches and new shoots, but once you get up in them, the apples seem as thick as grapes on a vine. And the ones you can't reach? Well, sometimes you can just shake them off the tree. Add those to the pretty good drops already on the ground, and you've got bag after bag to dump into the tractor bucket.
Wow!
That's Kyle, one of my daughter's friends. We were all pretty amazed by how many loads we ended up hauling up to the house.
How's the picking?
Endless.
My wife Edith took charge of sorting the apples. Some were definitely keepers for eating, and most of the rest, well, slice off a wormhole on this one and a really rotten edge on that one, and you got a mountain of cider apples ready for the grinder.
What is that?
This is where things started getting really fun for the kids.
Uh-oh, a bumblebee's on it, trying to eat.
The grinder has a little orange chute on the top that's pretty much an invitation for a bunch of little kids to toss things into. The apples rumble down the chute, and out of the bottom, it spits out stuff that kids just love. Mush. The mush gets dumped into the wooden presser, and on top of that, there's a big crank.
Too fast!
Turn the crank, the mush gets squeezed, and before you know it, there's the cider pouring out the bottom.
Can I?
Sure.
We need the apple cider.
Oh, we already started serving some, remember?
Like this.
Yeah, but
when okay,
you
let's get a little closer under, ready?
The kids had a blast learning how something they love gets made and helping to make it themselves. And I had a blast sharing that experience with them and knowing that we were all getting sucked back into this swirl of deep history. Back to New England 200 years ago, when apples and cider were staples of just about every household. To Europe 1,000 years ago, when growers first started giving their local varieties names like, well, pearmain. And to the mountains of Central Asia maybe 5,000 years ago, when people first started cultivating apple trees. From there, apples spread to every inhabited continent and weaved their way into local and global culture like no other fruit. They even got Adam and Eve kicked out of the Garden of Eden. There's a lot going on in one little jug of cider. For us, by the time we were done, we had more than 100 gallons. We gave a lot of it away. The kids took some to school for show and tell. And the rest, we stashed in a big old freezer. It might not last us 1,000 years, but we'll be drinking it for a good long time. For the world, I'm Peter Thompson.
We've posted some great pictures of Peter's cider adventure. Find the slideshow at PRI.org.